Blog Talk Radio.
Kings in the morning. Kings in the morning.
Good morning.
Where
good morning.
The people come together, practicing the Kumos, the Negroes, or whatever.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Jay King. Good morning, Shirley Brown. Good morning, Willie Zan. Welcome to Kings in the Morning. With me are my co-hosts. Boo-doom-doom, 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 boo-doom-boom, mushroom friend.
Good morning. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Jay King Network. You see what it said on the side of the building when you first pulled up. So get ready for a very informational show. Health, money, and get rich and stay blessed, y'all. Have a great day.
Good morning, Jeff Carlin. Good morning. Good morning, Mary Hopkins.
Good morning.
Nobody else wants to be on time. Show starts at 8 o'clock. Fred's the only one on time. Fred and then Mary Hopkins, and they always talk about the women shouldn't be here. Thank God for the women. Thank God that some of these guys, they get their little feelings hurt like little women anyway. So thank God for the women. Thank you for being here, Mary.
You're welcome. Mm-hmm. Thank you for having me.
Mm-hmm. Fred, remember last
stop
week? Paying
them
talking about Wednesday.
You start paying them on Wednesday. Stop paying them on fucking Friday.
Hmm?
Role shouldn't go out until Wednesday. You pay them too early and then they get fucked up all weekend and shit. Start paying on Wednesday.
No, you got to pay them on Monday. If you pay them on Monday, they don't have no money.
First of all, Fred, you, Fred, were the one who said, why are there ladies on the show?
Man, the hell with them, right. Man. I mean, we going to have
good
a show.
Good morning, Savelle Phoenix. Good morning, Cal Williams. What?
We going to have a show with or without them, Jay. Hell, they had to get their babies and get their lunches and shit together and their picnic baskets, boo-boo and shit. Damn.
No.
What's wrong with it?
Fred.
No, most of the ladies
I know how to do the word
are,
out of day, all that shit. Come on with it.
Most of the ladies on here are done with that phase of their life, Big Fred. Ain't no baby getting on no buses.
You didn't know how to pick a man. Hell,
breath,
if you come up halfway, you know, with $40 or $50 at the end of the day because you don't know how to pick a man, a husband, none of that shit. And you won't live. Don't
shut
up.
What blabbermouth shit is you talking?
I don't know what he's talking about. I think Fred got his medication fucking with him or something.
He probably did get his medication. He probably fucked it up. Probably put the night medication in the morning medication thing.
You know it. I'm just the one, I walk around OD'd all day.
Smoking that motherfucking weed and got your brain fucked up.
Good morning, Johnny Davis.
Good morning, everyone. Kings, queens.
Good morning.
So, Johnny Davis, last week, can you ask Fred why in the world would he send me an invite on Facebook to join his tricycle club? Why would I join that club? That's what John Beckman said. Why would John Beckman? I didn't know you had a tricycle club, Fred. When did you get the tricycle club?
Me and my members and a group of folks that enjoy nature you know, like you enjoy what you enjoy. We enjoy riding in nature walks and nature triking. What's up?
All right, but Jay ain't got no trike. What do you want to join a trike club for?
Motherfucker can buy a whole bunch of trikes. We can all have a trike club. This million-dollar motherfucker. I found you some windows, too, Jay. Patio windows for our home.
I saw it. Good morning, Christy Graham. I'm John Beckman. He sent me an invite for the trike club as well. I just ignored it.
It's the new Harley Davidson for seniors.
Well, let me just say this. I don't understand how it could be helpful to you from a health standpoint when it's electric. Good morning, Nakia George, a.k.a. Chocolate Peach.
Well, Jay, I'm going to try to run this past you one time since you want to make a fool out of me.
I'm not trying to make a fool. I'm trying to ask
you. It gets you out safely, and it's pedal assist. Okay? It assists you if you're in a bind. You can turn the motor to go, come on, and go slow, whatever. It's technology. But the main thing, to just be out in the public, getting some fresh air, and just being around nature and people, man. Come on, dude. Think out of the box. Don't be an asshole this morning.
Yeah, it does allow you to. It does allow you to be to use it manually or turn it on, or turn the power on. You don't have to. It doesn't always have to be powered.
Good morning,
thank you, Mary. He didn't have a whole bunch of crackjacking jokesters here this morning, so we might get something accomplished.
Well, Fred? I actually want one of those. I looked at the you sent me an invite to something else, and I did accept it. I didn't accept your trike invite though. But you did send me something to the moon bike or whatever, and it actually is pretty cool. I want one.
A grand rising, Dr. Perrone. All I'm going to say is this. That's wonderful. I like it. In order for me to wear that blazer, I have to lose about 10 more pounds, you guys. I just wanted to see how far away I was from that blazer. Jeff Carlin said, JE bikes typically have 1 through 10 power assist modes. You can ride it and pedal like a normal bike, or you can turn it up to assist different levels. Me personally, I run on level 2, so I have to still paddle myself. Yeah, so let me tell you guys, I'm dropping weight, and I have to give credit to Ali. Good morning, Professor Keone. I got to give credit to Ali because Ali was talking shit about my stomach one day. Good morning, Del Bernie. And Ali was right about it. He was right. And I looked, I said, God damn. And the last thing you want is a motherfucker with a sweet back, with a soft back, talking shit about your stomach. You know, I mean, he going to get droopy back one day because when your back is soft like that, it starts to droop. But I had all these suits that I was giving away because I couldn't fit them, right? I mean, suits I hadn't worn yet. But now I don't have to give them away because I can fit them. And so now I'm like, shit, I was giving this jacket away. I was giving this jacket away. Yeah.
I think that Ali should start taking the same advice he gave to you. He needs to start taking it himself. You did see that picture of him in that segment, right?
He did have a little chunk on him, didn't
he? He did. He had a little bit more than just a little bit of chunk.
So see, in a little while, I'll be able to wear this jacket. I'll be able to wear this jacket. And see, you guys see how close I am to buttoning? And see, my stomach is gone. Thanks to Ali. Thanks to Ali. For that, I give Ali credit. Good morning, Lee Fletcher. Good morning, Mina. Mina, I am going through my closet today to get rid of some stuff. And I'm going to go through my closet. I have shoes that I haven't worn. I got brand new shoes I've never worn. And I'm going to give them away because I'm not going to wear them. It don't make no sense. I got too much shit. And
who
if I die, they can throw that shit away.
Jay?
Hmm?
Jay, who are you going to donate it all to?
Different closets. They have closets here, people that need stuff.
Yeah, they there's a program for people that are like
Jeff Carlin said, I like when you're fat, Jay. I dress better. That's because Jeff can fit myself. Good morning, Cammy. Morning, Mary. I thought about you and your sister last night. We enjoyed Alaskan king crab for the first time. Let me know when your birthday is, and maybe I will send you one. Thanks. John Beckman.
Anywho.
Good morning. I'm JoJo Red. John Beckman, everybody on this show, everybody who listens to Kings in the Morning knows that you are a white man giver. They know that, number one. And number two, they know that your word, you can't stand on it. Can't stand on your word. If your word was an inanimate object, it would just be shit.
Wow. Good morning, everyone.
Good morning. Your word would just be a pile of shit. Men need those suits to get a job and maintain self-esteem, is what Jenna Marie said. Good morning, Antoinette Wiley.
That's exactly what I was
saying. I like giving calls away, actually.
What you giving away, Jay?
Well, I had a closet full of suits I was giving away, but I can fit them now. And these are suits I hadn't worn yet. So I'm not giving those away, but I'm going to go through. I am giving some stuff away.
Okay.
But since you can't fit my stuff, you're 6 feet tall.
Yeah. That sucks.
You know, yeah. You guys feel...
Well, you could give him anything. He can't see it anyway.
Wow. I guess this is how we're starting out. Good morning, Mary. How you doing?
I've had my coffee. That's how we're doing. See, you better watch out.
Yep. Good morning.
Good morning, Johnny. Oh, boy.
I have some Gucci shoes that I haven't worn yet, and I have some that I've worn a few times that I'm getting ready to give away. I only like certain... Gucci shoes. I don't like, just because a shoe got Gucci or something on it, a shoe still has to be stylish for me.
Mm-hmm.
I like stylish shoes. And then I like the way a shoe hit against a suit. I don't like when suits are wrinkled at the bottom. You know,
mm-hmm.
I like a small break, but not a real big break. By the way, you guys, I'm here until 9:30 on Facebook. I have to go to a meeting this morning.
So what you're saying is that you don't wear Steve Harvey suits?
No.
Well, I'm glad to know that.
No, I don't. I'm not. I think I'm going to start a clothing line called J. Anthony. J. Period Anthony, because that's my middle name. I think I'm thinking about doing a clothing line, a very stylish clothes, you know, nice fitting. Do you ever wear Stacey Adams? I used to wear Stacey Adams when I was young. Well, let me not say that. My cousin Reggie gave me a pair of Stacey Adams when we were in high school because Reggie was a Brumfield. Good morning, Mr. Elias. And the Brumfields in our side, in our family, the Brumfields had money. So I was on the poor side of the family. He was on the rich side of the family. And Reggie was cool. He gave me a gray pair of a Stacey Adams. And I love those shoes. I used to wear them with everything. I used to wear them with sweatsuits and all kind of shit. I was extremely poor.
Mm.
And, you know, when I was living in Vallejo, it was not good. You know, my dad did not have a lot of money.
Yeah, I remember I had a pair of them Knickerbockers. Remember them?
Yeah, I remember them.
Anybody have any Buster Browns?
The shoes?
Mm-hmm.
No, you know, when we were growing up, the Kenny's shoes was cool.
Okay.
Kenny's shoes.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Shit, maybe we go out to Roseville and get them Chuck Taylors for $5.
See, I didn't get Chuck. I didn't go out to Roseville and get Chuck Taylors. We had to wear. You remember Big G had those tennis shoes, had the G on them?
Yep.
We had to wear them damn things. You know, you couldn't wear them things to school. Everybody talking shit about you.
Now, back then, was
like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, those were the fun days.
Yeah. Good morning, Sway John. Those were, that's where you learn how to sig, you know, and cap and bag on somebody, because if you came halfway, you was gonna be bagged on. It's just the way it was, and you just had to laugh. You had to learn how to laugh with people, laugh about yourself, and then you know and try to get your sigging on. That's why I'm one of the great baggers of the day now. Because you know when you get bagged on, you learn how to bag. You learn how to fight back. I was in the K-Swiss Fat Farm days. Is what, that's name brand stuff. We had stuff, Charissa, that wasn't name brand. That if you wore it, people who wore name brand shit was gonna laugh at you. Mm-hmm. Dr. Perrone said, I remember when you bought a pair of shoes as a child, and you think that you could run hella fast than other kids because they were new. Yep. Yeah. Jay Taylor said, I had a pair of blue suede platforms in junior high school. Yeah. John Beckman said, how about those Walt Frazier Puma sneakers when they came out, all different colors? I never even knew Walt Frazier had Pumas, John. That's how poor I was. Yup, me too. I had FUBU shoes. Couldn't tell me nothing is what Mo said. I agree, Mr. Elias. Mr. Elias says people today are way too sensitive. And we're very sissified. I'm Jeff Collins said, that's right, Jay. If you can laugh about people capping on you and not get pissed off, then you actually become cool. You laugh with them. They are good, yeah. So folks with the shacks was getting clowned. I didn't even know Shaq had some shoes, but and see, we got clowned because they didn't have shoes that were named after, like, Big G was a store. So Big G had Big G tennis shoes, and it had the round circle like Converse, like the Chuck Taylors, but it had a G on it. And people would laugh at you. Look at Jay with them big G's. Jay got his big G's on, you know, so then everybody laughing at the damn big G. I did that. I ran fast in my new sneakers and slipped on a banana peel. That's what I said. Christy Graham said, I never was a name brand kid. My grandmother made a lot of clothes. The shoe from Safeway. That's right. Good morning, Daphne. Danielle said she worked at Foot Lockers for years. I couldn't get a job. Mm. Wallabies, roller coaster from Kenny's. Yep. Yeah, Lorraine. You know how kids could get a job at like a fast food and stuff like that? I never could get a job. I could never get hired. I never understood that.
Were you not employable? Why couldn't you get a job, Jeff?
I don't know. I don't know why. I had a big natural. Maybe that's what it was.
Did you apply and they just said nope?
Yeah. I just never got the call back from McDonald's or anything like that. Chrissy Graham said, I got a job at Journeys when it opened up in the mall at East Ridge when I was young, just so I could get my first real name brand pair of shoes. John Beckman said, I worked at Burger King and cleaned out the grease trap. Disgusting. Camarada said, you had a baby face and you were short. Nakia George said, you were destined for more, so you couldn't get a job to distract you. I wish that's what it was. So let me tell you guys, so they had this program called the Setup Program. And if you didn't make it, if you came from a family that didn't make a lot of money, and my dad didn't make a lot of money, I was living in Vallejo at the time. And I got a job at a hotel for the summer as a janitor. And I used to, so I had to clean out the bathroom and stuff like that and clean up around I used to go in the bathroom sometimes, and I would practice my popping. And it was there that I actually learned how to get better. And one day I was watching myself do popping and everything, and I looked so unreal that it scared the shit out of me. When I went into it, good morning, Barbara Coates, I started looking like a real robot, like I transformed. Good morning, Adrian Lord. And I watched it happen in the mirror. And so that's when I knew I was really good and that I was better than the average person doing it. And then I used to interview myself. I used to interview myself when I was 14, 15 years old. So, Jay King, when did you know that you were going to be in the entertainment business? And I would literally answer the question. And I think that's how I got, that's why when I started doing interviews, I was already so good at it because I practiced for so long. And then my signature, I practiced my signature, all that stuff.
Yep, you throw a little bit of them pop moves in now.
Every now and then. I never knew, I never understood why the legs and the knees are so important. But as a wrestler, I could anchor myself with my knees and my legs. So even if you were bigger than me, it was hard for you to just take me and throw me or try to do something with me. Your knees are really important to the power of your body. So, and my knees are bad. And that's why, you know, you got it. That's why I got it, you know, for me, for my body, my frame, I shouldn't be more than 165, 170 pounds. I think I'm at 181 right now, 180. So I got to drop another 9 to 15 pounds.
You still walking in the mornings?
No, not as much because I box in the morning, and so it becomes my cardio because during the course of my boxing, like when the round ends, he'll make me do different cardio kind of exercises to keep me like he'll make me do the boxer bounce. So you know, so I go 1, 2, 3, and I have to boxer bounce for 60 seconds, and then he'll make me do some other stuff. So, yeah, and then we go to the next round, and then he'll give me a break after that. So it's almost like running, Johnny. But now that I got a pool, I'm a swim. I'm going to swim on the days I don't box. Swimming is really good for you. Yeah. And you know, I'm 62 years old, Johnny. I'm about to be 63. What I really do a lot, what I like that he does with me is he stretches me. And the stretching, for those of us who are in our mid-50s, going into 60, I'm telling you right now, if you don't start stretching, you're going to look like Mr. Roboto. you know.
Jay, now that's one thing that I do, whether I walk, exercise, whatever, I do that daily, and that has made a world of a difference in the way my body feels.
Yeah. Stretching?
Mm-hmm. Every night, faithfully. I do it on my patio. I don't care who's looking. Don't matter.
Yeah.
It makes, it's like it oils my joints.
Yeah. Well, stretching also will get you out of looking like Mr. Robasso. I don't know if you guys see Joe Biden. You see how limited he is in his movement. He looks like a robot. That's from stretching. One of the things that I'm going to do with my dad is once I get him in order, I'm going to have a trainer come to the house and just stretch him, you know, just getting stretched out. Let me get him fattened up so he can come to basketball games with me. Good morning, Ali. So you decide to show up.
While you at it, you need to get you one of them stretchers, send him out there with Mary's ass, because no matter how much stretching she do, that motherfucker's going to have saggy skin, an ugly-looking chicken head-looking motherfucking fat, funky-looking motherfucker that's sitting over here talking shit about me when I ain't here.
Nobody talks shit about
yes,
you.
Yes, she did,
about?
Jay. You always sitting and say, yo, you ain't, you know what Jay?
Is that? Hold on. Jay said.
You know, you heard, they know hold on. Bitch, you don't tell me to hold on when your ass come over here talking shit about somebody fat. Ain't nobody even saying shit about you. I wasn't
fat?
Even here,
I said
bitch.
He was chunky, ho.
No, fuck you, bitch. Fuck your ugly motherfucking ass, bitch. You just like Nakia. You're going to always be ugly and fat. Bitch.
Bitch, whatever.
Well,
I'm
so,
not ugly nor
why
fat.
Why you get
so
mad?
Because I don't like motherfuckers talking about me. And you said up there agree with her. Yeah, he is a little chunky, wasn't he? Yeah, I got listeners, Jay.
No, you got snitches. That's
no, I got listeners. They know when a motherfucking ugly motherfucking white bitch trying to act like she back with her motherfucking ugly ass. Bitch, where's your eyelashes at? Where your eyebrows at?
Bitch, I have both eyelashes and
you ain't got shit, bitch. You's a ugly motherfucker, and you's a lonely, ugly motherfucker at it.
Ali,
okay,
you come in here, first of all.
Jay, you heard her talk that shit. You should have told her Ali ain't here. Why you talking about Ali? But now you say, yeah, he do got a little chunky on him.
Well, you do have, when she pointed it out, the same way you pointed it out for me, why can you point
out?
No,
she ain't pointing shit out for me. Mary don't know me. Mary ain't never seen me before in her life. She talking about a picture. She ain't even seen the cover pictures. Bitch, you don't know me.
Adrian Lord says, I love you, you love me.
No, Adrian Lord, you got to sing the wrong song. See, Adrian Lord like big girls, too. He's stuck over there.
I think Mary's drop weight. Mary looks like
she's Mary is a saggy motherfucking sandwich, nigga.
Whatever, Ali. You can't break it. Because
she thinks she lost some weight. That body is all kicked in.
I spent 10 years with Reese Hawkins. Hey, shit you can say to me.
I don't give a fuck about you spending. That's your. Fred told you picked the wrong man.
Why does he come in here with that little mini penny? Why does he come in here with that little mini penny energy?
Fuck you too, whoever said that. Motherfucker. My people listen.
Mary,
they called me and let me know. Thank you.
Mary says she don't know Ali. She do know Chunky when she see it.
Man, then you go backing them up. Well, yeah, Fred, why you didn't back me up? Your motherfucking ass.
Mary, you just fine.
Fat fuck too.
I don't even know why Jay let you motherfucking elephants over here. Ain't no way, Ali. That's why you motherfuckers stay on me. I'll keep you right at the wild animal zoo where you need to be.
Fuck you, bitch.
Christy Graham said, wow, he can come on here talking crazy, but Facebook keeps deleting my comments. John Beckman.
Yeah,
because
you got a triangular ass. They don't. Facebook don't like triangular ass girls talking shit. That's why your ass is fucked up on Facebook, Christy. Triangular.
So, Ali. So let me. I was going to ask you, how was your weekend? But I can tell you had a tough weekend this weekend.
No, I had a great weekend, Jay. I just come in here when people talking shit about me, and you backing them up.
Danielle said coming in hot on Monday. Mo Moon said he just mad because he got called out on his soft back and squishy belly.
You see, she talking shit, ain't got no life, talking shit to motherfuckers. She won't end on it, too. That's why her high yellow sounding voice ass be on mute.
High yellow?
That's right. She got a high yellow voice. You know, we ain't never heard a high yellow motherfucker talk. That's how they sound.
Christy Graham said, we can see he didn't get no ass. I agree with her.
You damn right didn't get no ass, Christy Graham. Your motherfucking ass is stanky. It looks funky, especially when it's triangular. You got two hips and two square motherfucking bumps. Your shit look like a 6'4 Chevy Impala.
Carlotta said, Ali always talk about fat girls. I think he always got rejected by them. That's why his soft back.
No, I love to get rejected by fat girls like you, cum rider, because I'm a cum right in your rider.
Today is Monday, September 9th, 2024. I'm doing the daily word. Brother Reverend Ali, I believe, is doing the word of the day. And,
you got
the daily word. The daily word is prosperity. P-R-O-S-P-E-R-I-T-Y. Prosperity. I count my blessings and abundance flows to me. When worrisome thoughts trouble me, I respond by counting my blessings. I take a moment to recall recent days or weeks and all the good things that have happened. Each blessing that comes to mind is a manifestation of prosperity. As I give thanks for each one, my prosperity consciousness grows. I begin to recognize abundance everywhere. In the beauty of nature, in acts of kindness, in words of praise, I realize I'm richer than I thought. I give thanks for my talents and skills, for the opportunity to do meaningful work. I count my friends and family among my greatest blessings. I discover more ways I have prospered and find new channels of good. My heart fills with love and gratitude as I realize my prosperity. Today's Bible verse is Proverbs 16:20. Those who are attentive to a matter will prosper, and happy are those who trust in the Lord. Good morning, Great Beasley. I'm Horsley. Brother Reverend Ali, what is the word of the day?
OG, the word of the day is greasy, spelled G-R-E-A-S-Y. And greasy means covered with or resembling an oily substance. Let me see if I can use that in a sentence. Mo Moon, Christy Graham, Danielle, and Mary all have greasy asses and greasy stomachs. Greasy.
Good morning, Stephanie Poole. You obviously have never seen Danielle.
I've seen Danielle. I know she's white.
No, I mean, Danielle is physically fit.
Is that her ass is still greasy along with her stomach? They look like they fried chicken.
And you look like you've been eating Danielle, some of that fried chicken.
Danielle said, how did I get in it?
Oh, you've been reaching for the last 3 weeks, Danielle. You didn't think I heard what you said just a minute ago? Jay King will get you caught up over here. He'll read that shit you're saying.
said with tanning lotion, maybe that's it. That's what's
on. No, you know, tanning lotion.
Adrian Lord said, personally, I like mine green.
Yeah, he's a greasy looking nigga. That's how you kind of a little different than your brother. Y'all twins, but you look a little different because you got a little greasy on you.
Nikia George said he's just a hateful little troll.
She's a super greasy motherfucker. You can't even get the creases in the seams of her motherfucking fat legs all hanging over legs.
Count Rada said, Ali needs therapy. Christy Graham said, it's a mating call. Don't worry. You'll get used to the sweat. Sweetheart, welcome. Let's show you around this joint a bit.
You show right, comrade. I need a psychologist help, a lot of it, dealing with this show coming on here with all you monkeys and animals that Jay King bring to the radio station. Everybody going to need counseling. Jay King used to have nice, fine girls around him. Now he got a bunch of monkeys and boo-boo-looking bras.
Oh.
Come on back to L.A., Jay. They fire down this way.
Kanye West's wife, Bianca Cinceri, apparently does not like the hip-hop artist's titanium and platinum grill. According to a new report, the metal piece repulsed the 29-year-old Australian model. She tells him what he wants to hear, that his grill looks nice and cool and sexy and makes him look really manly, In Touch reports. It was told by an unnamed source, but the truth is she's disgusted by the way his teeth look. The insider continued, she's told her friends what a turnoff it is. Putting her lips, let alone her tongue, anywhere near his metal stub makes her want to gag. I think Mr. Meany is mad because his growth was stunted physically and mentally, so he never evolved like most humans.
She can't leave it alone. She just keep going. She want a piece of this dick all day, Jay.
He's never been known for very good hygiene, the In Touch Weekly contact said about Ye. He's not exactly forensic about cleaning his grill, so his breath smells pretty rank a lot of the time. The source also added, Bianca has to just hold her breath and suffer through it, since there's no way she could ever be honest with him about it. Good morning, Melissa. Facebook comments shared their thoughts on Kanye West possibly grossing out his spouse. One person wrote, everything about him makes me sick. She needs to walk away from that controlling man. Another Facebook user said, it make him look like he has rotten teeth. It's a terrible look. On the other hand, somebody expressed with no sympathy for Bianca Cinceri by saying, well, she picked him. Reportedly, Cinceri has complained about her husband's lack of cleanliness for months. Now, let me ask you guys a question. Could you be with somebody that had bad breath or that had a BO, body odor?
Hell no.
No, that's why I'm trying to get away from this show. I love you, Jay, but these motherfuckers is running me off with they stinky, bad breath ass.
How do you know you haven't been next to
them? You can tell who got stinky breath, especially a motherfucker like Mary with discoloration teeth and cigarette smoke.
How big? Jeff Carlin said, how big are her tits?
He just nasty.
Damn.
So Jeff Carlin, if she had big breasts and her breasts stank like dog shit, she still have action with you. Bernard Middlebrook said, I've been around incarcerated people with grills in their mouth. They don't have the proper things to clean their grill. Their breath is horrible. Good morning, Phyllis. This is a true story. I got to tell you guys a true story. I'm not going to say who it was, but there was a guy that worked for me. And we were in a meeting. Good morning, Emily.
Damn, Jay. Did it make you gag just thinking about it?
No, water went down the wrong throat. Wrong part of my throat.
He really was gagging about you. He just don't want to let you know. You's a motherfucking ugly motherfucker. Make a
Shut
nigga want to gag.
Fucking trick. Shut up.
That's why Reese left, because Reese gagged too much.
Oh, Lord.
We were in a meeting, and his breath was stinking so bad, and I offered him a mint, and he said, no, thank you. And I said, no, you need this. Your breath is killing me. He made me do it. I didn't want to do it. He made me tell him his breath was killing me. But good morning, Herbert Meza. If a woman was musty, I can't never do it to her. If I meet you and you musty, we can't never do it, cause your coochie stink. If you musty, your coochie stink. It ain't no way around it.
The girls don't want to talk about that, Jay. They know they motherfucking shit be funky to the motherfucker. Stanky.
If you musty, your coochie stink. It ain't, you can't get around it.
If you must be Jay.
Well, that's a terrible thing.
If the breath stank, the coochie stank too, Jay.
Oh, wow. Professor Keone said, King, that was so funny, too. You were broadcasting live when you did that to your now ex-employee. Was I broadcasting live when I did that? Dang it. I didn't know I was broadcasting, but I do know that I told him, you know, you got to take this. But if a girl is musty, it ain't going to happen. And let me say this to ladies. If a dude is habitual with bad breath, he's got smegma. If his breath is habitually musty, he don't wash his dick well. And he is a dirty dicker. It's the equivalent of coochie stinking. A dude with habitual bad breath does not clean himself well. A woman that's musty have a stinky coochie. It's the same thing that you couldn't
speak. Comrade ain't got nothing to say when we talking about stinky coochie. Her ass run from the show. How it smell, comrade? Mo Moon ain't got nothing to say when you talk about musty coochie, JK. Where the girls go?
that's nothing you couldn't take us to get you on the air. Comrade, they listening, Ali.
They usually be typing, so, Jay, when you be reading. Now we talk about stinky coochie, they in there smelling on their shit, running to the bathroom. You got them brushing teeth and washing coochie, Jay, this morning.
Multiple sex Jana Marie says multiple sex partners make you stink.
Janet Marie be having different sex spot. What happened to that blood you had from Atlanta, Janet Marie?
Janet Marie said fast food make you stink too. Comrade says because she's laughing so hard, Ali. That's why.
I bet. You know you got that rag and went to the bathroom. She in the shower now, Jay.
This show right here. Nothing worse than doing doggy style and that odor of stain hit your nostrils. Game over at that point. Mo Moon said, if you're musty, you coochie stink. That's facts. If you musty, your coochie stink. That's facts. Yeah. Good morning, Celeste. Jelena says, Rev Ali, you're just too raw.
Jelena, go clean a vagina.
You going to hell, Ali.
I'm just saying that you guys, women should, if a dude has habitually bad breath, his penis is not clean. If a girl is musty, her coochie stink. They're the same thing. A musty girl, a boy with bad breath, they're the same thing. If you see
what about
a girl
with fucked up feet and toes, Dre, Jay?
A woman with a woman
Dre.
With
Johnny, you wearing your glasses today?
Good morning, Chocolate Peach.
Good morning.
How are you?
I am well. I'm just trying to figure out why I was in Ali's mouth before I even said anything to him this morning.
No, you said some shit. Jay read the comment.
I did not. That was you talked about me before that, and I hadn't said anything about you.
Oh, I didn't say shit about no motherfucking Chocolate Peach until you said the motherfucking comment. Go listen to the archives. I ain't got time to go back and forth with no monkey.
So, you were talking about Mary and you mentioned my legal name.
I'm not responding
good
to
morning,
this element, Jay.
Because you know you're wrong.
Cat said, Lord, why the negativity? Good morning, everyone. This topic reminds me of why women should never be in combat. Field duty is not hygienic. Jeff Carlin said, I had a salesman who worked for me who was one of the best, but his breath would start a war. By the time I was done saying things to him over the years, when he would talk, his lips would barely open up. Yeah, you know, if your breath stink and you around me, I'm going to tell you. Now, you can get mad if you want to, but you can't be around me stinking with stinking breath. And, you know, I always have something with me to fix my breath just in case, you know, especially if you're eating food and stuff. And, you know, I mean, I don't like when people got food stuck in their teeth and they talk to you and you know, and the food is all right. Go, you know, don't do it. Keep your eye. Oh, the sparrow, don't do it.
That's why we didn't let Marvin hang with us.
John Beckman said, Jay, didn't I ever tell you about my colleague at work who said he was down eating her coochie and she diarrheaed in his face? Can you imagine? No, the fact, Jay, what's your thoughts on the black legislators tabling the reparations bill? That's a great question. You got food in your teeth and your booger, I'm going to tell you, yeah. You got, yeah. So he's talking about the two bills that were tabled that Stephen Bradford, I'm going to get Stephen Bradford on our show. Stephen Bradford is a senator who's in his last term. He's running for lieutenant governor. He brought two bills before the committee the Black Caucus, the California Black Legislative Caucus, at the urging of the governor, tabled them. They canceled his bill. They said that, you know, when I talked to Steve, he said that, that it was because they were jealous. So I'm going to let you guys hear what happened. This is a white guy.
He's trying to block my access. Why are you so black folks in prison. What you want to do?
Sir Major ATL on Twitter says, caught on tape blocking reparations. Disgraced Assemblyman Isaac Bryan was captured on cell phone footage willfully, intentionally, and deliberately obstructing Assemblyman Bill Assaley from approaching the Speaker of the House to introduce the reparation bills SB 1403 and SN 1331. By the way, you can click on these hashtags on Twitter. In a troubling move, the California House Speaker turned off the Assembly in-house cameras, preventing the public from seeing what was happening on the floor. When Bryan realized he was being filmed on cell phone camera, he became aggressive, confronting Assaley and accusing him of not supporting reparations. However, it was Assemblyman Assaley who had called for the reparations bills to be brought to the floor after the California Legislative Black Caucus refused to support them for a vote. The Democratic Party of California and the California Legislative Black Caucus blocked these bills from being signed. As here is Assembly Member Akilah Weber walking by the reparations advocates who continue to urge members of the Assembly to bring up SB 1331 and SB 1403.
So what's interesting, you guys, is that, so I'm going to get Steve Bradford to come on this show and talk to you guys about it when I come back. This week, you guys know Thursday is the last day that I will be on Kings in the Morning for this week. No, he was trying to present those bills at that time, Tracy. He was trying to present those bills at that time, but it was nefarious. He really wanted to show that the Black Caucus was against him, but he's against it too. He wouldn't have voted for it. But it's gamesmanship. You know what it is, because you know Republicans and Democrats, it's an agenda. And if I can expose you, even if I know that what I'm doing, that I wouldn't support it, I'm going to play the game. That was the game that they were playing. But the California Black Legislative Caucus should not have gone against, should not have gone against Stephen Bradford and his bill. But they carried Gavin's water for him. And I said it when it first started, I said it on this show, that I didn't think it was real. I didn't think it was real from the beginning. Because you can't talk about reparations for Black people without having everybody involved in the conversation if it's going to happen. You had to have white. You had to have Asian. You had to have Native, Hispanic, Jewish, gay, Black, white, all on. You had to have them there together and somebody to be a historian over the whole committee to just kind of give, to be factual. With historic artifacts, with information right there in front of people to show why the racism, bigotry, prejudice, and bias that was exacted against people for being Black when we had a constitutional responsibility to uphold the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments. And we didn't have the country. And so when when I watch these agendas, and this is why I say we have to, you know, we got to stop fighting to be Republicans and Democrats, and we have to start fighting to be free citizens that can stand up for real causes that affect us as an overall. And what we've done, you guys, is we've gotten so used to being separated by race, we can't have a conversation with each other without having it with race at the top of it. It's what we've been conditioned on. It's what we've been, you know, we've been developed and everything on the fact that we're different from each other because of what color we are. Tracy Parker says, none of that should have happened, but people have to know Asai is a racist jackass. He was planted to do what he did, of course. But that being said, Tracy, the reason why he could be planted to do such a thing is because of the division that exists inside of the California Congressional Black Caucus, or the California Black Caucus. El Malik said, that's why I hate when our people run behind these politricians, because they look like them and they all make me sick. It's a game, and anybody in it. And so you have to know if you're going to be in the game that you got to understand. Good morning, cousin. Happy birthday to you, cousin. My cousin, Jay Turner. It's Janice. It's her birthday, y'all. It was her birthday a few days ago. So happy birthday to you.
Happy birthday.
And politicians, and I don't care who they are, the ones you like and the ones you don't like, they all in the same game. They all part of the you'd be hard-pressed to find one that is straight up, that is not agendized by one side or the other. They don't exist. So that's the game. And until people start, look, regular folks, me and you, we got to get involved with the process. That's why I give money to it. I give money to it because I want my voice to be heard. I want to have sway. I want to be able to pick up the phone. You guys have seen me do it. I can pick up the phone. People are going to answer my call because I write checks. And you guys think you got to write big checks. If a group of folk got together, and every month, if 100 people got together, and every month that they met, they put $10 in the pot. Every month they would have $1,000 in that pot. After 5 months, they'd have $5,000 in that pot. After 12 months, they'd have $12,000 in that pot. $10, 100 people, $10. And if you did that for 4 years, in 4 years you'd have over $48,000 in that pot, because you put that money in an account that's just growing, and you can put it in a money market, whatever, and let it just grow and grow. And you got a voice. 100 people got a voice. They got power, because along with their vote, they got money, and they can put money in different behind different candidates. So when you speak, all 100 of you, you guys can speak at different times. When you step up, you don't look like one. You look like 100, because they know the group you're part of. If your group was called the 100, and they said, that's Jay King from the 100. When they see me, they don't see me, they see 100. Dale Burney, that's Dale Burney from the 100. When they see Dale Burney, they don't see Dale Burney, they see 100. They see 100, and they see money, and they see power. but people don't know how powerful they are. People don't know how much influence they have. You and I, we have more power and more influence than we actually know. No, Jeff Garland, you could give $100 a month, and if 100 of y'all gave $100 a month, that would be $10,000 a month, and $120,000 after 1 year, and $480,000 after 4 years, and you could start with that. That's how powerful people are. The problem is getting people to divorce themselves from the world. If you're married to the world, then you're married to the fear, you're married to the agenda, you're married to the ideology. If you're married to the world, then you fight for Democrat or Republic. Yeah, you got to go to the meeting, Jeff. You got to be involved. That's the problem with people. People think, you know, like, well, man, if I put the money in, no, you still got to be involved. We've gotten lazy. We're great when it comes to complaining. We say shit that we don't mean. And the shit we mean, we don't say it. So it don't matter. That's why the world, that's why you don't matter. That's why you feel like nothing matters. That's why you feel like you don't have any voice, you don't have any power. That's why you feel like you don't, you know, vote and don't do nothing. Because you don't vote. So it's easy for voting not to do nothing in your head. I don't understand people. I really don't. I don't understand why people, I don't know what people, what we need. I don't know what we need to ignite us again, to make us excited about life. It's almost like we're in this vibration that, like, we become zombies. We're zombies. But what does one do if they don't have the money to give to lousy politicians? John Beckman, if you join a group and you didn't have the money, somebody in that group, because you come every day, somebody in that group will pick up your slack because your dedication is there. See, again, we look for reasons why and why not. We don't look for reasons of possibility. John Beckman, that's why you're going to hell.
Going on to hell.
You're going to hell. Going to hell.
Example, and I disagree. I've already earned my stripes in heaven. How do you like them apples? I have a gut feeling Jeff Aroni is going, though. John Beckman, you're going to hell. And you're not going to make, as a matter of fact, Jeff Carlin ain't going to hell. Jeff Carlin's going up a yonder. He's going up a yonder. And because you've been measuring him against you. And John Beckman, you've proven that you and hell are made for each other. I'm going to tell you who else is going to hell. A Maryland pastor who has swindled more than $3.5 million in COVID relief funds to finance his extravagant lifestyle has been sentenced to 18 months in prison, the Maryland District Attorney's Office announced last week. Rudolph Brooks Jr., founder and senior pastor of the Kingdom Tabernacle of Restoration Ministries in Washington, D.C., pleaded guilty to wire fraud and money laundering in August, the DA's office reported. Brooks, who's 48, swindled the money from payroll protection program loans created during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. The DA's office said the PPP loans were supposed to be used for mortgage payments, rent, and utilities to enable businesses in need to survive. He then used the illegally obtained money on personal expenses.
Mm-hmm.
The DA's office reported that Brooks bought a 2018 Tesla Model 3 and property in an affluent Maryland town. He also spent excessive amounts at restaurants, grocery stores, and other retailers. As part of his sentencing, Brooks was ordered by the court to forfeit more than $2 million from 17 accounts under his control. He also has to relinquish his Tesla and the Maryland property. After he's released from prison, Brooks will be under 2 years of supervised release. Brooks was first arrested in 2021 for submitting falsified documents for businesses he operated. He committed his crime between April 2020 and September of 2021. Good morning, Hannah. Brooks used several businesses to apply for fraudulent PPP loans, including Kingdom Tabernacle of Restoration Ministry, Cars Direct, and a limited liability company called Madero. He obtained the funds by inflating employee numbers and payroll expenses on his loan applications. He received more than $1.5 million in loan proceeds for Cars Direct, and more than $1.8 million for Kingdom Tabernacle and around $200,000 for Madero. Each business, the money went into bank accounts for which Brooks was the sole signatory. Good morning, Paul. Brooks covered up his misappropriation of funds by laundering the loan proceeds. Besides misusing these funds for lavish lifestyle, Brooks also transferred some of the money to other accounts under his control. For instance, he created a fake payroll account for Cars Direct and transferred $500,000 into it. However, no payroll expenses were paid from this account. Additionally, Brooks transferred around $196,000 to Cars Direct PPP loan funds to his personal account. From this, Brooks bought his Tesla for around $60,000. Brooks also transferred $750,000 Kingdom Tabernacle PPP loans funds to an account that he had sole control over. He used around $500,000 from here to buy the property in Maryland. The case against Brooks involved multiple federal agencies, including the FBI, the IRS, and the DA's office. While Kingdom Tabernacle Restoration, the website has been taken down since Brooks' arrest in 2021. Archived version of the site praises the pastor's character. Minister Brooks' intense love for the Lord, relentless spirit, and ability to tap into the very heart of God make him a memorable speaker. The former church website said, with his love for God and lively preaching style, which can hold even the skeptic's attention, Pastor Brooks speaks and shares the heart of God with compassion and conviction. Prior to Kingdom Tabernacle Restoration, Brooks worked at Maryland Kingdom of Tabernacle of Refuge Ministries in several roles. He served as an ordained elder, assistant pastor, chair of finance, and head of men's ministry and teaching. So let me tell you guys why Pastor Brooks got busted. It wasn't because he was black, because a lot of people say, they always go after the black people. No. 4% of black businesses have one employee or more and generate $100,000 or more. Only 4%. Of that, less than 1% have over 100 employees and generate millions of dollars. So when you know, it's not like looking for a needle in a haystack. These guys are like sore thumbs. They just stick out. And so what they started doing was going through, they started going through the numbers, seeing who was, if there were any sore thumbs. And then they start going to the sore thumbs to see, and sometimes the sore thumb, it was a good business. It was because we do have some businesses that do that, but they are very few. And so, good morning, Ralph Hawkins. Pastor Moneybags wants to speak about it. How you doing, Pastor Moneybags? Hello, Jay King. It's me. It's Pastor Moneybags. Of course, I was Pastor Lovelace, but because of some, I will say some legal reasons, I can't be Pastor Lovelace anymore. I am Moneybags. So, and this is something that Moneybags has never done. I've never cheated for the Lord. I come to you, Jay King, and to all of the listeners of the Jay King Network, John Beckman in particular, because I think he's going to hell if he doesn't. And I hate to say this, John Beckman, because I love you, brother. If you don't start
tithing,
listen to me.
Moneybags.
Listen to me, John Beckman. I'm speaking to you because I was with the Lord this morning. As you know, I see him in my garden in the morning, and your name in particular came up. And the Lord said to me, get John Beckman to tithe, to give an offering, to sow a seed this morning. And I said, Lord, what kind of seed would you like John Beckman to sow? And he said, John Beckman should sow a seed to you, Pastor Moneybags, of no less than $2,500. And I said to the Lord, Lord, why would John Beckman do such a thing? And he said, because John Beckman loves the Lord. John Beckman loves the Lord, and I want him with me in the sky, in the clouds. But right now, John Beckman does not have enough in his account to make it to the clouds. And John Beckman, I say to you today, I want you to go, John Beckman, a cash app, and put dollar sign Pastor Money Bags, B-A-G-S, and $2,500, and this will be your down payment to heaven. And as the Lord tells me, and if you listen to me, John, listen to me, I don't want you to go to hell. Pastor Brooks, I don't want Pastor Brooks to go to hell, but he will because of what he's doing. See, I'm going to heaven. I'm going up yonder, going up yonder. I'm going up yonder, John. I want you to come with me. But it will require you, John Beckman, to start sowing seeds. And Jay King, I want you to sow a seed as well because I believe John Beckman is leading you also to hell. Well, thank you, Pastor Moneybags. I really appreciate you for speaking to the Lord on my behalf. I want John Beckman, as a matter of fact, John Beckman might need to get $3,500. If Jay King comes in at $2,500, you're going to have to do a little more.
Oh, shit. This never ends, Moneybags. Hey, Moneybags, how long is it? Do I have to do this in perpetuity until I'm dead?
John Beckman, the Lord will tell me, and because I love you and I know you're going to do the right thing, you will do what the Lord tells. And I understand the Lord just blessed you with a new Escalade. God is good. God is good, John Beckman.
Yes, it set me back quite a bit, Reverend.
Oh, man.
If you want, I can give you a ride to heaven.
I'm telling you, Jay should get in the comedy. Yeah.
Roderick just texted me. He wants to know if we can take him off mute.
No, I'm not taking – no, because let me tell you who Roderick is. Roderick is Roderick is that one – you know how you have animals and they – and you know, you got one animal and people come to your house and they say, oh, my God, this dog is so beautiful, Jay. Can he come in? And I'm like, no. And when he comes in, he acts out. But the dog is sitting at the glass. And people, oh, let him in. He's beautiful. If I let him in, he's going to tear shit up. He doesn't look like that. He doesn't, he just looks like a very, I'm telling you right now, he is going to come in and tear shit up.
Give him a chance.
I've given him several chances. The motherfucker come in here tearing shit up. You know what?
Now, sometimes it takes people a little bit longer to learn than others.
I know.
Everybody learns.
But I'm going to tell you something. I had this dog before. Every time I let him in, he start off, and then he'd be real okay, and everybody like, look, see? He's okay. And then he goes, huh? And then he starts tearing shit up. So I'm going to do it today because you guys are new people at the house. And then, so let's see what happens. Good morning, Roderick. His mic is open. So,
take yourself off mute, Roger.
You pissed him off.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. You called him a dog. A bad dog at that.
No, I just know what it is.
Call it like you see it.
Yeah, I just know. And I'm gonna be out of here in 11 minutes on Facebook. I will still be on. I will still, you know, I have a meeting today. You remember the song we did? Remember the song Club Nouveau did? And the movie?
Which one?
The movie, the song we did that was going to be
the
movie.
The one that was
the
remake of the Elvis song?
Yeah.
The remake of the Elvis song? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that song is coming out now. I mean, that movie's coming out
nice.
At the first of the year. And they love the song, so we might be doing a video to it.
Oh, nice! The song is funky. The song is very
funky. Make sure you get Roger in
all that old good shit, Jane. Don't let us sleep it out.
Well, I can't hear none of that.
Yeah. I'm meeting with the producers today. So I don't know the name of the movie. I don't know the title of the movie. But I'll let you guys know tomorrow. And I'm meeting with them today to talk about it, talk about what we're, what we're going to do and all that stuff. So I'm excited about it. Anyway, so that's lunch, breakfast this morning with them. And,
I think it's great. That's awesome. I think that's wonderful news.
Yeah.
Are you going to feature Dre and his brother's new track that's coming out?
I haven't heard it. Where is it?
I don't know. I think it's coming out like September 20th or something like that.
Now, I'm going to tell you something about Kings of the Morning. About featuring shit on Kings in the Morning. There's some good parts of featuring shit on Kings in the Morning and bad part. The good part about featuring shit on Kings in the Morning is that it's on Kings in the Morning, people get to hear it. The bad part is if people don't like it. Now what? Then your feelings get hurt. You can't bring your feelings here.
Ali
gonna start off against it.
Well, Ali hates everything, so to be expected.
I wish you stopped talking about me. I told you that's why you be getting cussed out. You don't know me. Ali hates everything. Third hour power. You won't be heard, nigga. You won't be heard. Third hour power. Jay got to leave at 9:30.
No,
I'm
in charge
of it. You came in here with an AK-47
and went crazy this morning. So I can say any
fucking
thing I wanted this point.
Yeah, you keep on talking. Well, Jay ain't going to be here one day. Your ass won't be heard.
If the truth hurts,
I'm going to be here today. My meeting isn't.
I seen the fucking photo.
Don't you hear Jay talking? Why are you talking over Jay, you fat animal? Shut up.
Okay. He's telling you that you are kind of chunky, Ali. Ali, the same way, Ali, when you told me I was chunky, I started working on it. He's telling you you're chunky.
Yeah, well, you know what, Jay? These motherfuckers going to work on it, too, because I'm going to hit that mute on their ass, and they're going to lose a whole bunch of weight.
No, I'm going to control the mute button today.
Okay, well, you're going to be gone Friday. I can't wait.
No, on Friday, you know what? I'm going to do it from where I am. I'm going to do it from outside. I'm going to control everything.
I don't know if you heard. I hold great shows, Jay. See, motherfuckers don't come to with that shit when
boop,
I'm here by myself. They know better.
Boop.
You get these big old animals and elephants a voice.
Damn it, man. That's
how I'm
killing.
Shots fired.
Mary, I've met Ali. He's a good man.
I know you met Ali because that's the picture I'm talking about, the one that you and Ali were in.
And that's
when
you saw the little chunk on him.
That's
now, John Beckman, did Ali have a little chunk on him, Ali?
No. In fact, when I hugged him, he felt pretty muscular. I didn't feel any flabbiness.
Yeah, that's that stupid bitch, though, John. Don't fuck with them, John. And she's a stupid, fat, funky motherfucker. She'd look for anything about somebody else to talk about. That's why she be fucking with Roderick, because everybody jump on Roderick. That's what motherfuckers do when they ain't got no life.
For anybody else to talk about, listen to this bullshit.
Get all the talking out you can, you loud mouth, no life, no man, ugly motherfucking low-paying job ass bitch.
Fucking running mate. Because you are full of shit just like
yeah, keep talking, bitch. You know.
I'm looking for shit to talk about, people. Motherfucker, you have talked
go
about
go wash your coochie. Go wash your ass, because you stink.
My body, my fucking personality.
That's why John didn't
die
with you. You ain't got nobody, bitch. Your body's all fucked up. You look like
oh,
a big-ass sleeping bag.
Motherfucker, I don't give a fuck what you think, first of all. And second of all, everybody can go on.
That's why John didn't send you no crab, because of that fucked up, stupid ass mouth of yours. You'll never get no crab over here. You'll never get no crab, bitch. Shut your ass up.
You was right on here mad as shit.
Jay King, mute that animal, man. Why you let this animal just ramble like that?
You little chunky ass motherfucking chipmunk. Shut the fuck up.
Get rid of this animal, Jay.
You say mean things.
Jay King. Jay King. You the cold
you,
piece of work, Jay King. I bet you was the
right
biggest shit starter in Sacramento, Jay King. Because you talking about, you got big shit, Ali. And you see this motherfucker just nonstop talking? You don't need that. Don't bother you, Jay?
Ali.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. See, you the biggest shit starter in Sacramento.
No,
you
I
let
mean,
motherfuckers
you.
Come talk about
I
your
mean,
friends,
no.
And then when your friends start talking shit back, you want to jump on your friends. What kind of
no,
shit is that, Jay?
All you guys are my friends. You call them animals?
Jay, I wasn't even on the show. I got a call that said this motherfucking fat bitch is calling you fat on the show, and Jay co-signed
he did not call you fat.
Jay, you was co-signing.
He said you was chunky, and I said, yeah.
And you co-signed. So you should have said,
yeah.
Ali not here. You shouldn't be saying stuff about Ali. You know how he get about you. But no, you said that his co-sign set her up for a motherfucker like me to come in and tear her ass up. Now you trying to act like you didn't do nothing.
But, motherfucker, you can tear me up all day because I'm going to tear you back up, bitch. What
you and
you
ain't
going to
tear
your
shit up. Soon as Jay step away from the motherfucking mic and go to the shower, even if he go piss, I'm going to mute your ass.
Defense. That's your only defense. That's old.
That's right, because you don't need to be over here.
Straight out.
You don't need to go
straight
on
out.
Reach radio show. Won't you be a host on Reach show?
Because I don't want to.
Because he don't want your big old ass over there, that's why.
Right here, fucking with you, bitch. And that's what you can do about it.
Oh, I'll mute your motherfucking ass with him on the show.
No, you won't. You ain't muting nobody.
I'll mute all you motherfuckers right now. Just take the heat from Jay King. That's okay. I've been in Jay King's heat box before. I know how to get rid of you, motherfucker.
You're not going to get rid of nobody. You're not getting rid of nobody. So you can't, if you're going to ditch it, you got to be able to take it.
Don't take no shower today, Jay.
You talk shit about marrying them all the time when they're not here. If they're not here, you call them.
No, I don't say shit about them, Jay.
Yes,
at all. That's a lie. That's a goddamn lie, Jay. When them motherfuckers ain't here, I don't even think about them motherfuckers like that.
You know what? Yes, you do. You call them rhinoceroses and animals, and you say, I don't know why Jay let these rhinoceroses and these animals come on the show. And that's why your ass is on mute.
Baby boy, come hither with me. It's just me and you on MTE. Ooh, it's a mob. I like this shit. Ooh, you know what's coming next. Yup, to the tip. Does it feel good being here with me? We're on a zesty timeout. Ooh, don't you enjoy? Now come here, sugar. You gon' be my toy. Boy of joy.
that was a zesty timeout for you.
Well, you know, you're really good to your animals, J. King. You really treat them well.
I gotta get ready to go to this meeting. I gotta go to this meeting. If you guys want to listen, call in 515-605-9376. I'm still going to be on 515-605-9376. Or, hold on, we have a new guest call in. Our new guest call in is 347-205-9366. 347-205-9366 is the new guest call in. But it must be the other one must work too, 515-605, because I see my sister on, and I didn't tell her a new number. So anyway, call in, you guys, and we're going to keep going. I'm going to be on with them. I just can't be on with you guys and with them, because then you guys have to get in the car with me and all that stuff. And then I'll be trying to read your shit while I'm driving. Ain't good. Peace. All right, you guys, I'm still here. I ain't going nowhere. I'm right here.
You better be.
I am. I'm right here. I ain't going nowhere.
We ain't going anywhere. We're right here.
Yep, right here. Good morning, Mo.
Good morning. I'm outside, so I'm going to go back on mute.
Good morning, beautiful.
Good morning, beautiful. How are you?
Yeah.
I'm fabulous.
That's great. That's Ali.
You motherfuckers need to be put on mute for saying the wrong word, because ain't none of you motherfuckers beautiful. Ain't there one of you motherfuckers beautiful.
I'm not going to listen to your opinion.
Ugly motherfuckers, ugly motherfuckers. I'm always trying to uplift ugly motherfuckers.
This is the most barking
and
fucking dog.
Hey, sister, you're so beautiful. Bitch, you ugly motherfucker. You got lumps coming all out your mouth. Your teeth all fucked up. Your breath stink. How beautiful. How beautiful. That's what you call big motherfuckers. Beautiful big motherfuckers. It's the BBB.
First of all, Mo not
big. She was talking about you, you ugly motherfucker.
And
talking about your big ass.
In their own way, even your salty ass.
You ain't beautiful, nigga. Your ass is way beyond your days. I don't even think you ever had any days.
Lord have mercy.
That's why you were stuck with Reese.
Give me a fucking break.
You didn't have no choice. Reese, the only motherfucker wanted your ass. Took your ass up out of motherfucking New Jersey and moved your ass to Texas, and now you in Alabama with no dick. Run down.
This is not everything.
Jay, what you do? Call this motherfucker, tell her to call in? I believe you did that.
I called in on my own devices.
I don't know. Why are you calling somebody on their job? Won't you go to work? Why are you fucking with people on their job?
Who are you talking to?
You motherfucker.
Uh-oh. I'm outside. I'm walking. I'm walking my dog right now.
Why are you calling people on their job fucking with them, though?
I'm not.
You keep
my
name
out
your mouth, then.
Whatever.
Ali.
I'm going to go on this board.
Ali,
okay, we're going to see. Keep talking. Keep talking.
Ali, if you put anybody on mute, I'm not going to open up your mic again.
Okay, well, you need to tell these motherfucking animals, tame them, Jay. Shit.
Little chunky chipmunk. So,
see, why you ain't saying nothing, Jay?
If you call them names, they can respond.
Why you ain't saying nothing to them when I call them names? Why you ain't saying nothing when they call me names? And why you ain't putting them on mute?
Because they're not threatening to put you on me.
Oh, my God, Jay. You need to go to that damn meeting immediately. I'm calling Gavin Newsom on your ass right now. Let me hold on. Call this nigga Gavin.
I'm going to call the back doctor on you. because your back fucking with you and it's really making you.
Hey, Gavin. Yeah, man, listen, man.
God,
J.K., he with the Black Chamber of Commerce. Yeah, they right down the street from the state
God,
capitol.
Jay.
He waiting on you.
Oh, my God, Jay. Oh, my God, Jay. Daddy, how come they get to say whatever they want to say, but I don't?
I hope Ozzy ain't put nobody on mute, because if he did, then I got to put his ass on mute for the rest of the
time. I ain't touched the button.
No.
The motherfuckers stop talking on their own.
Good morning. Good morning, Potter. Good morning, Potter.
Good morning, everyone. Nice, cheery day today, I see.
Good morning. Well, everybody's cheery except for them rusty-ass Dusty Ollie.
You see? You heard that, Jay? You like that, huh?
When there's some background here. When did all of this animosity start between you guys? Was it from day one or did something?
Hey, nigga, move on. Move on, nigga. I'll mute your punk ass, too. Nigga, we ain't trying to keep this shit going.
I already told him.
I'm gonna tell you what happened.
Getting for the rest of the show.
I'm telling you what happened, Potter. Ali, saying that Ali, I gave Ali a lot of credit for getting me back on the kick of losing weight, because Ali was the one who told me that my stomach was getting big. And I said, you know, and I had to look at it one day. I was like, damn, my stomach is getting big. And I started working out. So then I started, there were clothes I was giving away. I had brand new suits I hadn't worn. And I was giving them away. And the other day I started trying them on. And they all fit me now. So I said, I got to give Ali credit. And then Mary said, did you see the picture of Ali with John Beckman? He looked a little chunky. And I said, you know what?
Oh boy.
That ain't what she said.
He did have a little talk on.
That ain't what she said. So you got the wrong thing. You don't even remember what they said, Jay. You left shit out.
That's exactly what I said. It's in the
That ain't what you said. That ain't what you
yes,
said,
it is.
Motherfucker.
Yes, it is.
You
yes,
said
it
is. Ali is chunky. Did you see that picture with him and John Beckman? Yeah, he need to do more than what you do, Jay, because he's chunky. Yes, you did, you lying fat fuck.
Hold on. So that's
and
how
And J.K., you need to quiet these monkeys. That's all right. I'm going to log in. I'm just going to get in trouble today. Fuck it.
No, you're not.
Ali, don't sabotage nothing. Remodeling. Remodel your attitude, gentlemen. We're remodeling. Motherfucker, we already behind. Shit.
That's true.
So,
what's this I hear about Dick Cheney?
Did, huh?
No, I was about to ask something. Go ahead, Jay.
Yeah, about Dick Cheney not supporting Trump?
Yeah, and supporting Kamala. I don't know if that's a plus for her or not. I don't think that's a plus for her.
Right.
If I was her,
I
all those bodies
that
Dick Cheney
that.
Got.
Who the fuck is a
Dick Cheney got a lot of bodies.
Well, first of all,
if I was her, I'd just ignore it.
I think Dick Cheney not supporting Trump is just par for the course because of Liz Cheney. Dick ain't going against his daughter. So,
right.
So I mean, I just think that people, you know, there's nothing out of the ordinary about it. There's nothing like, oh my God, earth shattering. You know what I mean? So
it was, yeah,
you know,
it's some shattering news.
Yeah, but I think what is more telling is the culmination of Republicans that are saying, they're not going to, you know, they can't support him because of his stance. But I also think what's interesting is with all that,
you know, Kamala Harris is behind in some polls by 1 point and ahead in some polls by 1 point. So, you know, for all of the, you know, she outraised him 3-1. So with all these things taking place, you know, she's still not, it's not like she's got separation from him. And that's it. That's very telling about her. You know what I mean? That's very telling that all, you know, she's got all this hoopla. She's got all this push towards her. And they gotta, there's got to be some concern on the Democratic side that with all that they have going on, that she still, there's no real separation. That's what I would think, that there's got to be concern. You know, I mean, I think everybody put on a, everybody puts on a happy face that, you know, look, you know, it, you know, Kamala, Kamala, Kamala. But, you know, Donald Trump is an enigma that, and that has said some incendiary things. And even with all of the craziness that he is and with all the hype that's around you, you're either 1 point behind or 1 point ahead. That's a dead heat. And the bad news about you hasn't started hitting the airwaves. So, you know, we already know who Donald Trump is. There's nothing new that you can say about Donald Trump that's gonna make people go, oh my, oh wait, you know what I mean? But she still has that oh wait moment that we have to see if it's going to come or if she can survive it. So it is
Sorry.
Go ahead. What you gonna say?
I was gonna say every time she talks, it's like, oh wait, like what the fuck?
Yeah, but she hasn't had that moment yet. There's nothing that's come out that made you look at her side eye yet. And I'm just saying,
yeah,
you know, she's got to get past that side eye moment. The same way Donald Trump had to get past, you know. When Donald Trump said John McCain is no hero, that was a side-eye moment, you know.
Yeah.
And you guys got to remember, people said Donald Trump just lost the election. That's what they said on the news. Donald Trump just lost the election, just shot himself in the foot. I mean, the nomination, just lost the nomination, just shot himself in the foot. You don't go against John McCain. You don't say negative things about John McCain, and he went up 6 points in the poll. Donald Trump said, you know, you can grab him by the pussy. And everybody said, oh my God, he's a sexist, but he just said it's going to kill him. But he went up in the polls. So you got to see if she's going to have some side-eye moments where it's going to affect her in the polls. And if it doesn't affect her in the polls, that's a good sign. If it does, you know, they don't have a lot of time to recover. So there's a plus and a minus to the election being right around the corner. You know, the plus is that she got the opportunity, you know, to get on the love train real quick, you know, and get moving. The bad part about it is if it switches tracks on her, you don't have time to recover. You don't have time to fight back. And that is what I believe the Democrats are most concerned about, is that they you know, like right now they're just trying to keep, and that's why they kept her away from the press, so that she doesn't say anything that could be harmful to her. That's why they're, you know, they're limiting the debates. But again, if she doesn't debate enough, she loses. She can't afford to just do one debate. You know, she's got to debate Donald Trump at least 3 times for it to add up to that. In my opinion, this is just my opinion.
Yeah, and they're trying to make Donald Trump. They're trying to give him some good talking points. I think recently he said something about sanctions and how they're weaponizing sanctions against countries, and he's like, I'm not going to go overboard with these sanctions. Like, all of these sanctions don't make sense because it doesn't do any good for the United States to try to sanction everybody, right? So they're trying to keep him on point. I don't know how long he's going to be able to do this because he's going to say something stupid, but it looks like they're trying to keep him on track. I just don't think that's going to work.
Well, 100%. He's going to...
He's actually been good. Oh, sorry. He hasn't been... I mean, he hasn't done anything stupid lately. And he has been very middle of the road. Like, he's been agreeing with a lot of moderate policies. So I think that's what's keeping him, like, gaining in the polls. Like, he tends to be leaning into his VP, like, in terms of the stances and, like, the values that, like, he is with. And I think he is getting to the moderates.
Yeah. I just think that his VP is not helping him any. I don't know why he picked that guy. I have no idea.
I think he picked him because he's young. I'm not attracted to white men or anything like that, but I think that he's young and he is a decent looking guy. And I think that he brings in a different, a different age group.
I think he should have picked up Tulsi Gabbard. Would have been the best.
Can I say, am I muted?
Had he picked Tulsi, I think, man, that would have been frightening for Kamala. Had he picked Tulsi, because Tulsi dismantled Kamala Harris. She's the reason why Kamala had to drop out of the presidential race.
Yep.
He
should have picked her because of a number of reasons. Number one, she's military. Number two, she's a woman. That helps this woman problem a little bit. She's really good in front of the camera. She knows how to answer questions. She knows foreign policy. Right? Like, there's a lot of boxes that she checks. And he should have picked her if he wanted to lock it up. She's been on TV lately. She goes on CNN, and they try to get her all the time, and she always lights them up, no matter who. I think Dana Bash or whatever her name is on CNN tried to get her recently. Tulsi, very quietly and very professionally, just took her apart.
Hello.
And I was like, yeah, Donald Trump. He.
Am I in the news? Am I muted?
No, we can hear you, Kat. Go ahead, Kat.
Well, y'all are missing it totally about why he picked J.D. Vance. He picked J.D. Vance because there were some big donors and a lot of people in Silicon Valley, Peter Thiel and those guys, they wanted J.D. Vance. That's why he picked J.D. Vance. It's the big boys that got J.D. Vance. Anyway.
And he's going to...
What was the point of them backing J.D. Vance? Like, I don't know that backstory.
Because J.D. Vance, that's who they put their support behind. They had their money either behind.
Yeah, but there has to be a reason why they put their support behind him. That's what I'm saying. Like, what's that backstory?
Mary, the way you say it, the way you ask it is like, it wasn't like a kind ask. It was like, well, what's the backstory to it?
I didn't mean it like that. I really didn't.
I know. That's what I'm saying. So I think what Mary is saying that is
Mary's funky like that.
Why is Silicon Valley so attracted to J.D. Vance?
I think it has to do with his wife. Isn't she a Stanford?
Okay.
Yeah.
I just didn't wonder.
If he's a Stanford professor, then that is it, Mary. That the Silicon Valley, that area, they're very influenced. Like, they all are connected.
Oh, so she's a Stanford. You said she's a Stanford professor.
I believe so. Don't quote me that. I know she's an Ivy League for sure.
She's a lawyer.
She's a what?
She's an attorney.
Oh, okay.
I'm telling you, it just, to me, I know the big money wanted him, but to me, he messed up his choice. If he really wanted to run away with this thing. Because she's much better in front of the camera than J.D. Vance.
But Donald Trump got to raise money to keep up with
Congress. Yeah, that's true. That's true. Yeah.
So, you know, the money, you know, money, big money Trump.
May I ask you all a question? I'm doing a survey, and there's no right answer or wrong answer. It's just a question that I want different people to give me their opinion on. And it's for a project I'm working on. And the question is, why do black people predominantly vote for Democrats? That's the question. And I don't know how long they have been voting for Democrats, but ever since I've been alive, they have. So why is that?
Black people started voting for Democrats with FDR. Up until that point, blacks voted for Republicans because the Republican Party was Abraham Lincoln. They were the ones that were more concerned about equity and, you know, equality and justice. And then the parties switched, where the Democrats, you know, they upheld slavery and all the things that were negative for people of color. With FDR, the role of the Republican and Democratic Party switched. And so initially, black people saw, because the Democratic Party is who the civil rights, all of the civil rights acts and all of the equity and equality things were done through the Democratic Party. But in all actuality, the Democratic Party and the Republican Party are the same thing. It's just the agendas and how they go about them are different. No matter whether it was Republican or Democrat, neither party has ever done anything to be equitable for people of color in a fair sense. In an agenda, with their agendas, they've done it. But if you're actually talking about being fair and equitable, that has never happened. Black
Well, the term, Jay, the term equitable is a new, that's been something new in the past, like, what, 10, 15 years. We never talked about equity before. We never talked about outcomes before. We always use the word equality. So what you're saying is that with FDR, because of the social programs that came out of that era, mainly to the Depression and, excuse me, the recognition of the need for civil rights, you know, for equality among the races, that began in the FDR during the New Deal.
Yeah.
And so
that's where equitability, the conversation, because it's where the country looked at the fact that it had to be fair to all citizens, not just citizens that looked like the majority. There had to be some equitability. There had to be some fairness in how they meted out the justice and equality, because the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendments said they were doing it. But in our assumption was that because those amendments existed, our assumption was that people would live up to and, you know, and go by, you know, the law. But men and women of that era were men and women of that era just because the law said it, just because the Constitution said it, didn't mean the heart and the spirit said it, or that it believed in it. And, you know, and we know, like we know today, that there's a lot of racism in this country. There's a lot of bigotry. There's a lot of prejudice. There's a lot of bias. But now it's not just whites. Everybody has it. Everybody practices some form of it. And we all justify it. We can all justify why we have our prejudice, why we have our bias, why we have our bigotry and our racism. We can all count on what, you know, what's happened to us, and what we need to do to make it, to make our lives better. But I don't know if we ever live up to it. And that's the sad part, is that we have, you would think that by now we would see it, and we would see it differently, but we don't. We hate is something that we know how to do really well. So I'm going to end the show and start it back for the third hour of power. So you guys got to hang up, and then it's going to come right back on. All right? I'm going to call right now.
Okay. All right.